Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hello and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, what the hell's going on?
Yeet.
Kelly, you and I don't know how this episode will be, because both of us had to wake up very early this morning to watch a very long show, and yep. Some of us had technical problems. That means they couldn't finish the show before recording this.
Yay!
Woohoo! So,
why? How do they always know when we need to record and are just like, you know what? Big show that day.
Yeah, it's like that's when we've got to put it.
Yep.
So yeah. This is Jumping Bomb Audio. What are we going to be talking about this week? Well, we are going to be talking about the just concluded All Star Grand Queendom. Stardom's biggest show of the year and their biggest show ever, spoiler alert, from Yokohama Arena that just concluded. We will be talking about everything else happening in Joshi, and of course, we will be talking all the action from a big WrestleMania weekend featuring Joshi action beyond compare. I couldn't think of anything like so much. A lot of Joshi action.
Many Joshis.
Yes. A lot happening there. We will be talking about some other shows that happen, and we will be talking about upcoming Joshi, which goes into Golden Week. We are here at another Golden Week for Joshi. But before we get into that, you know we got to do the plugs. Follow us on Blue Sky at J-Bomb Audio. You can follow Kelly and myself also on Blue Sky. Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly, me at Tame Aimbo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So let's get right into it. We are talking All-Star Grand Queendom Stardom Show from Yokohama Arena. That just happened today as we record. That's April 27th in front of 7,503 fans. The all-time Stardom record. Kelly, what'd you think of the show?
Show of the year contender, easily. Right now it's the front runner by quite a wide margin.
I should say that a few seconds ago, a few minutes ago, I did refer to some technological problems. That would be on my end. I have seen the whole show except the main event. So I feel a bit odd. I think if the main event is very good, which I think it will be, if I had to predict, I would be close. I think there's one or two matches I might be a little bit lower than the consensus on, but a very, very strong show up and down.
Yeah. And though I do think this was an example of Stardom poorly miking their crowds.
I also think it was a very big building generally, because I could sort of hear people making noise, but it wasn't getting to where it needed to be.
No.
It didn't feel like a show where people were sitting on their hands. It just felt like a show where I couldn't hear the people making noise. Maybe I was in tune with that after watching 8 million shows WrestleMania weekend, where the crowds were not properly mic'd.
Yeah.
So anyway, this show, it was very long. So long, in fact, that the Samurai broadcast of the show cut off.
That's wild.
Before the conclusion of the main event. Part of those technological problems as to why I haven't seen the main event.
Maybe they shouldn't have taken that intermission.
And it was a lengthy intermission.
It really was.
But anyway, what was in the show? Well, it started with, of course, a pre-show rumble match. Hanako defeating a whole host of people, pinning Miyu Amasaki in the end to win that rumble. Kelly, you watched this rumble?
I did.
Great. What'd you think?
It was fun. Like, it wasn't bad. It was just a solid little rumble. I thought it was funny how, like, no one rushed into the ring. Like, everyone took their time coming down the ramp. I do feel like Waka Tsukiyama is the most unintentionally hilarious wrestler to ever exist. Just like, the things she does are just funny in a way I can't really explain. Like, just as she's walking, she just turns to the crowd and goes, "Hi!" It's like, it's like, what? Why are you doing that?
I was a little bit sad to see Momo Watanabe in the pre-show rumble, I have to admit.
When she came out, I was like, oh, she doesn't have a match on this show, does she?
I thought the highlight was the very brief Azusa Inaba, Maya Fukuda, a.k.a. Kyoka Kotatsu, a name I will never remember.
Nope.
It just doesn't have anything to do with the previous name.
Nope.
It's not like, ah, you know, I guess you have some of that, but it's just they're two different names, and I'm like, oh, it's Maya Fukuda.
Yeah, I knew her in that name long enough that it's going to take me a long time to get used to this new one, if ever.
But I liked her brief interaction with Azusa Inaba. That was, I think it was Azusa, because I don't think Tomoka had come out yet. Yeah, other than that, just getting some faces on the show. And yeah.
Yeah, good closing stretch in the final bits with Hanako and Amasaki.
And then it looks... oh, no, never mind. Ignore me. I had my matches out of order in two different places. Anyway, the next match was the first title match of the evening. The champion, Hina, retaining her Future of Stardom title over Rana Yagami in 12 minutes and 14 seconds. I thought this was pretty solid. I thought they had some good near falls in the end, near the end of the match. Got me on a couple because I thought that Rana had a good chance of winning. So there were a couple pins. There was actually one, I don't remember which it was, but I fully thought, oh, it's over. And I went to go on my phone to write a note, and then there was a kick out. So really got me. But a solid opener.
There were two times in this match that Hina didn't kick out quick enough. And I think one of those was probably when you went to go take notes. But there was two times that... Was it Daichi or was it the other guy that was reffing?
I don't remember. I thought near the end of the show, I haven't really noticed any of the refs doing anything weird.
Yeah, so whoever it was had to pull up twice from counting three for Hina. Like, twice in a row. And I was kind of like, well, it's obvious who's winning now. So that was kind of a bummer. And I really feel like this is like a systemic problem in Stardom. I feel like I noticed this more in Stardom than all of other wrestling combined, with people almost missing kickouts or the referee having to pull up. It's very weird. Like, I don't know if it's just how they're learning in the dojo or what, but maybe they should cool it on the 2.99s.
But well, I have some kickout stuff later, not Stardom related, but other company related. So maybe it is a full whatever.
Yeah. But other than that, I thought it was a good match. It just kind of got derailed near the end for me. I ended up going 3.25 on it.
The next match was a singles match. Sayaka Carrara defeating Tekla in 12 minutes and 49 seconds. Now, Kelly sent me a message. I knew he was watching this match. He sent me a message halfway through. So, Kelly, I will let you go first.
I surely hope the ending of this match is what it appears to be, and that Tekla is gone. Because I have no time for her anymore. Like, I really did not like this match. I hate her whole shtick. We've seen the spider shit a million times. It's not impressive anymore. The fucking post-match sucked so bad. I never want to see Taro Okada as a character ever again. Bad. Didn't like this at all. I hope she's gone. Go back. Go to NXT. Go see what Chef Michaels can cook up for you.
My one note I had during this is I believe commentary compared Tekla to Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What the fuck?
Because I heard them go, blah, 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 Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I was like, what?
I mean, I guess.
That was the solution. They should have just fired him when he was causing all those problems.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was fine. I was nowhere near as upset, clearly, as you were about this. I did laugh at Okada standing up and being like, Tekla, you are now in Cosmic Angel.
That was good. That was actually very funny.
Which made me laugh. It's surprising that now would be the time that he would be like, you are fired, after he was also attacked WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
On that show, you think he would be like, oh, you're fired. You think at least now he'd be like, oh, you just lost. Like, ha ha ha. But then he's like, you're fired, you know. Is she fired? We'll see what happens. But I thought it was mostly inoffensive. And I, you know, fun for Carrara to get the pin. But I don't hate the storyline, but I'm sort of just like, I don't really care about, you know, oh no, I must protect the idols of stardom from this person. I'm like, I don't really care if they're idols or not. As long as they wrestle well, like they can be any type of person.
Exactly. I hope she does not return under a mask called like Thoth Adida or something. That's my nightmare.
Super strong, not sexy stardom machine. I don't know. What's the opposite?
Super spider machine.
Oh, there you got it. That's why we brainstorm. So yeah, the next match was another singles match. Yumika Hoda defeating Rina in 10 minutes and 2 seconds. I thought this was aggressively fine. I didn't really care about it, and I'm over hate. I'm over it.
Yeah.
If it's not Saya, it stinks.
Yes.
And let me tell you, I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit, but the world at large also thinks that because they were on WrestleMania weekend and every comment I got about them was, who are these people? They stink.
Yep.
Everyone. So everyone's over it. It's bad.
It's bad. Get rid of it. I thought Rina did well in this match. I thought she handled Hoda no-selling her very well. And again, it was a fine match. It was a little better than I expected, to be honest. But yeah, I ended up throwing 3 stars on it. I thought Rina did a pretty good job here.
The next match was a 6-person tag team match. The Sendai Girls team of Meiko Satomura, Mika Iwata, and Yuna defeated the Cosmic Angels trio of Aya Sakura, Natsupoi, and Sayori Ano in 13 minutes and 5 seconds. Thought the highlight of this was Meiko destroying Aya Sakura at the end.
Yes.
I think I would have just preferred, obviously I sort of understand why they didn't do it, but Meiko and Mika against Natsupoi and Sayori, because their interactions were the highlight of this. One of Mako's last matches ever. I was thinking during it, I was like, it is sad she's leaving, but she has just been gone for like 4 years.
Yeah.
So I think I'm less sad than I thought I would be, just because I'm like, oh, you're just going away again.
Yeah, you could just be going back to NXT UK for all I know.
Yeah. But other than that, I thought it was pretty standard. Nothing out of the ordinary, except that ending.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was... I really enjoyed the Satomura and Aya Sakura stuff. And I thought she actually gave Sakura a lot. Like, she got in a good amount of offense on her. And then gave her a lot of offense, too, to put her away. Like, it wasn't just a simple, here's one thing, you're done, it's over. Like, she had to use quite a bit to put her away. So I thought this was a good showing for Sakura, and it kind of made her like the main character of the match, essentially. I was pretty happy with it. I went 3.5.
The next match was a no DQ match, no disqualification match. Suzu Suzuki defeating former stablemate May Sierra in 15 minutes and 55 seconds. Kelly, I'm fascinated to hear what you think about this match, because I found it very strange in a way.
Interesting. Okay, I loved this. I thought it was fantastic. We get a good double juice. That's always good. I really loved how May didn't let this veer entirely into Suzu's lane. Like, this, it was a no DQ match, but outside of the opening segment where they fought outside for a while, it was just a match. And I think that was smart, because it was like, because that's the thing I always see with matches like this, where it's, oh, no DQ, and then you have this wrestler who's like never wrestled a hardcore match in their life suddenly just grabbing all of the plunder and using it against like a veteran of that thing, and it's like, oh well, no surprise you lost. So it was just like, yeah, this is mostly a high speed match, which made a lot of sense. And they put a lot into it. They both dropped each other on their head a bunch and bled a ton. It was awesome. I thought they really over delivered. I went 4.25 on it. I was very happy with this one.
So I went 4 stars. I liked it, but
why'd you hate it, Taylor?
The thing you liked about it, I found very weird. Like I found it very strange that they went outside in the first 5 minutes. They were gushing blood.
Yeah.
And then went back in the ring and were just like, and now it's time for a match. Like, I was like, this is sort of strange. It also, I was thinking in the moment, I'm like, look, we're about to have a lot of sort of like singles, epic singles matches, all right back one after another.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought for variety, it would have probably been something to be like, oh, this match is very different. It's a no DQ. Like, interesting they called it no DQ, and I think they probably called it no DQ instead of hardcore to lean into the fact that they then just had a match.
Yeah, I think you really didn't even need to call it no DQ because everything happened on the outside and the referees don't give a fuck anyways.
Yeah, it was just strange because I'm like, it seemed like that was the moment to be like, oh, we can make this match stick out. But then in the end, other than the two of them bleeding everywhere, it felt like a lot of other matches on the card that came after it that probably then sort of wiped it from, you know, people's mind as like, ah, this was, you know, I think people could have looked back and been like, oh, XYZ thing happened. And it's like, well, it was very much like some other things on the card, which feels weird for a match that's like, it's no DQ. You know, that being said, I did really like it. I thought the match was good. I mean, they were bleeding like every, like, it was very weird because May came in the ring. It looked like she was bleeding a little. And then 2 minutes later, she looked up and she was bleeding a lot.
When she like stumbled into the corner or got thrown into the corner and just left this giant blood smear, I was like, oh, okay. Her hair is just hiding.
So again, I thought it was good, but it felt strange to me to have a mat, like to have a stipulation and then mostly be like, ah, forget that.
I think it, I liked it so much because it just went to something I've always been saying where it's like, why do these people who never wrestle hardcore matches suddenly decide, yes, I can beat this person that specializes in their in this style.
But then on the other hand, why was Suzu not then, like, I get it from May's perspective of being like, well, I'm just going to try and wrestle a normal match so I can beat her. Why would Suzu then not try and bring it back to no DQ to be like, well...
Yeah, she definitely should have tried to bring more garbage in the ring at some point.
So, but still won. So I guess, you know, didn't need to. But yeah, I liked it. It just felt sort of strange to me to sort of do it as one thing very briefly and then just have a match.
I'm very happy that we now are in a period of stardom that will allow double juice brawls.
Yeah, that is true. The next match was for the Sendai Girls World title. The champion, Chihiro Hashimoto, defeating Micah in 14 minutes and 55 seconds. Kelly, your thoughts on this one?
This was a real meaty beef slapper. Just guys being dudes. Dudes rock. No one's come up with a better term than that. Chicks rock doesn't feel right. This is great. It was exactly what I wanted it to be. Good shit. 4.25.
I went 4 stars.
Why'd you hate it?
I really liked it. Obviously, Micah is good, but in these matches, I just watched Chihiro, and I'm like, she is so good.
Yeah.
She also does a lot of things that no one else does. She does those, like, swinging club strikes during strike exchanges that I really like. And she did something early in the match. I don't know if I'm going to describe it properly, but she sort of, like, pushed Micah down so she could run the rope and then knock her over. Like, she pushed into her to, like, get a push-off or something. I don't know. That's a terrible description of what happened. But She just does the little things very well, and then of course,
like kind of like the lucha hip check or the shoulder check.
Yeah, a little bit. I would have to go back and like find it so I could actually describe what happened, because I was sort of like, oh, that was cool, and then waited 5 minutes to write the note down and was like, oh, it was a push. She's just great. I mean, she does the little things well, and then, you know, of course, near the end of the match, she can just like pick people up and throw them down very hard. So I very much enjoyed this and went 4 stars.
Good stuff.
The next match was our Goddesses of Stardom title match. The Stars duo of Hanan and Saya Iida retain their titles, defeating Hazuki and Koguma in 14 minutes and 26 seconds. So I was wrong last week in my prediction that FWC dropping the titles would mean they would win here.
I wonder if they dropped the titles because they were losing here. And Oz didn't want their champions losing.
Yeah, I guess so. There was a weird, I saw somewhere, I don't know who wrote it, that maybe FWC would leave Stardom, which is why they didn't win.
Yeah, I saw something about that. I mean, maybe they just really enjoyed working Oz and were just like, fuck it, let's go freelance.
Or go to somewhere else.
No, no, don't go there. Don't go to the Hat Man.
I really liked this match. I thought it was really good. I liked Hanan just yeeting people around, throwing people around, with some of those judo throws. The muscle buster on the apron.
Oh, that was sick.
Looked really good. Was great. Shoot headbutts. You know, jumping bomb audio is pro on that topic. So I thought it was great. I went 4.25 stars.
I hated this match. I was only 4 stars.
Ugh, Kelly. God. If you're not going to have anything good to say, I'm going to find a different co-host.
I was very happy to see Hanan and Saya Iida win, just because I love this team, and I really want them to have a long reign. So it was cool to see them retain. Just awesome action throughout. Hanan ate so many hard slaps from Hazuki. Like, that was awesome. Just great stuff. Really wish they would get rid of the weird AI ape that's in their opening entrance video thing, but other than that, good stuff. 4 stars.
Kelly, I think we're on the losing end of the idea of putting AI into things based on the world that we live in, sadly. But
when I was at a fucking AEW, what was that, 2 weeks ago or so, for 3 weeks? A month ago. Jesus. For Collision, I noticed like they have the frat party group.
And
their entrance has clearly AI frat house in it. Because none of the doors or windows match.
Cool. anyway. Moving on from that depressing topic, the next match was an IWGP women's title match. Shuri defeating the longest reigning IWGP champion of all time, including the IWGP men's title.
Holy shit, really?
735 days, I believe, is the number. Mayu Iwatani losing the title to Shuri in 21 minutes and 54 seconds. Kelly, this is the match. I have a feeling I'm going to be lower than everyone because I went 4 stars. The cage match rating currently is 9.8, essentially. Where were you?
Brother, guess what? You're not the lowest. 3.75.
Wow. Whoa.
I am the true hater.
The truest hater of all. Wow. I definitely thought I was going to be the low.
Nope.
I mean, again, 4 stars. I went 4 stars. I liked it. Well, now I'm fascinated to hear your thoughts on it.
I just wasn't really into it. Like, I thought, I feel like an old man yelling at clouds here. But I thought they did too much. I thought they kicked out too much. Like, it just, it got to a point in the match where I'm just like, Jesus, go home. Fuck. Like, I don't know. And, like, I feel like Mayu missing or botching the Poison Rana off the top kind of goes to my point that they're almost pushing themselves too hard. Because it's like, she's never missed that before. And I don't know. It just, it 100% felt like they were doing too much. I don't think the match was bad, but it just didn't work for me like I was hoping it would.
I would say, I think my thing is, and I've talked about this on the show before, and I think it's most highlighted on the bigger the shows get for Stardom, the more it is highlighted, because I think the more the roster leans into the idea of, it feels like on these big shows, they have a lot of singles matches. This was the third, I would say, big, quote unquote, big singles match of the show. I'm counting Suzu and Maesiera, Chihiro and Micah, and now this.
Yeah.
And there's a thing where, A, it starts to feel like I'm watching sort of the same match being done by different people. And the idea of it really feels to me on these bigger shows like it is women trying to do New Japan matches.
Yes.
And not women doing Joshi matches.
I would totally agree with that in this match particular, for sure.
And I think the thing about New Japan is that they have, you know, weight divisions, for example, where, you know, right before a big singles match, you might get a juniors match, which is high flying. And like the size of them, this is not really what I'm trying to say, but like there is a variety where they have a little bit of variety, where here it's like, okay, everyone is the same. So we're going to go out and we're going to have a great match. And those matches are like, we're going to go out and kill each other and go crazy, which is another reason why with the Suzu and May match, I was like, I sort of wish it had been a hardcore match, because then I wouldn't be like, oh, this is my third match where, you know, the second match on this show where someone goes to do a move off the top rope and the person grabs their leg, for example. It happened in Suzu and May. It happened in Mayu and Shuri. Like, this match was good. I went 4 stars. Again, I thought it was good. You know, the Poison Rana being botched was a bummer, but I'm glad that they just sort of moved on and kept going and didn't try and then do it again or something. But I spent a lot of the match sort of like, okay, this is another like epic. We're having this. We're going to have more because there's 2 more matches on this show. I thought they got there in the end with me, which is why I went 4 stars. But it's just a disconnect with, it feels like the bigger the show is, the more the roster wants to be like, we're trying to do a New Japan show.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, you know, I like the Joshi style. And so seeing, I think it's a combination of, I'm less into this big sort of match style, but also having, okay, it's not just one match on this show. It's 3 or 4 big. Okay, we're going to go out. We're going to do a strike exchange in the middle of the ring. We're going to hit all these crazy finishers and people are going to kick out. We're going to go off the top rope. We're going to be crawling, you know, we're going to have submissions that people are crawling to the rope. Like, it all sort of mixes together for me. I'm sure that people, and this is probably why they go out of the world of Joshi fans. Like, I'm sure Dave will watch this match and he will give it 4.75 or 5 stars.
Oh, he's gonna, this, I'm going 5.5.
Okay, interesting. But anyway,
5.5 on this one.
But you know what I mean, in that he's not sitting down and watching all 5.5 hours of the show.
No.
He's watching this match and he'll go, it's great. And then he won't watch Stardom for another 3 months.
He'll probably watch the main too.
Yeah, but I'm just saying,
I think he won't like it as much.
What was the last Stardom match he rated? I don't know.
Wasn't it the Saya Tom Kurikan?
Which was what, 2 months ago?
Something like that.
A month and a half, something like that. But anyway, I'm just saying, I think it works better for someone jumping in.
Yeah.
Then for me, who's like, I have seen this. We have now been sort of working this style for the last 3 years. I think they've gotten away from it in some ways. I think the Corican main events are differentiated from that. But on these big shows, it feels like they're like, we have to go out, and every person on the show is trying to go out and do a end all be all. It's like the Ring of Honor issue,
yeah.
Where everyone was trying to go out and have the greatest match that ever existed. So then some of them, you were just like, I have seen this.
Mm-hmm.
And with Mayu, I mean, I've been watching Mayu for, I don't know, 10 years. It's like, I've seen the Mayu matches, which we could then spin off into, is this the end of Mayu in Stardom? And that question of, you know, she doesn't seem to have much else to do in Stardom.
That's the thing. If she's gonna leave, I honestly don't blame her, because she's done everything she can in this company.
It's a thing where you just wish that you could go somewhere else and not go to a company that is like just tripping over themselves currently.
Like, she honestly would be so much better off just going to DDT and just competing in their main singles division.
Yeah. But it seems very, I don't know what word to use, very possible, very likely.
Yeah.
That she will be going to Marigold.
The allure of the Hat Man cannot be understated.
The Hat Man calls.
Yep.
So I get being like, it seems like, okay, let's say she stays in Stardom. Let's just pretend we live in a world where she stays in Stardom. What does she do now? Because it seems like she's not going into the main event picture.
No.
It seems like she's in this very sort of, you know, veteran role. They sort of gave her this IWGP women's title, which doesn't really matter.
The IWGP title really felt like the, well, Mayu's got to have something to do title.
Yeah. Yeah. It felt like, oh, let's do this now.
Yeah.
So that we're not like disrespecting the person who stuck around through all of this stuff. And I'm just checking because, you know, they talked about, oh, it's a longer reign than Okada's reign. How many defenses did she make? Okay. She made, oh, these are listed weirdly. She made 10 defenses in 735 days. So that's easy, because that's a defense every, well, she didn't defend it successfully the last time.
Yeah.
She won the title, she made 9 defenses, and then she lost the title.
Who'd she beat for the title? I don't even remember.
She beat Mercedes Monet.
Oh yeah, okay.
We don't blame you. It was over 2 years ago. Let's see, yeah, because Okada's fourth reign was 720 days. He made 14. He won the title. He made 12 defenses, and then he lost the title. So closer than I would have thought.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we'll see. I mean, am I excited for Mayu to go to Marigold? I can't say I am. Just, there's not really many matches there that I think, ooh, I've got to see, I don't know, Mayu versus Miko Aono.
Versus Megaton.
That's odd you would say that, Kelly. You wouldn't rather see Mayu versus Gigaton?
Oh, you know, maybe.
Or how about Mayu versus Megaton and Gigaton?
Oh, now you're talking.
That is a match that legitimately I think may happen.
Mayu Oh, but what if she comes in and leads Darkness Revolution?
Wow. Interesting.
No one would see that coming.
God, this sucks to talk about. Let's go back to Stardom. Anyway, yeah. So, okay, Kelly and I, very, very similar.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you thought you were going to be the low man on that, man.
I certainly did. I thought, oh, man, I'm going to be so much lower than everyone else. Okay. The semi-main of the show was for the Wonder of Stardom title, Starlight Kid defeating Azumi in 20 minutes and 37 seconds. I think this one was a victim of my expectations. The previous big Starlight Kid and Azumi match, I went 5 stars on. So that was my expectation. I don't think they got there. I think part of it was the same thing where it was another one of these knockdown, drag out, epic style matches. Again, I still liked it. I went 4 stars, but I wasn't blown away by it.
I'm the high man on this one. I went 4.75.
Well, there you go. Maybe you just got your scores mixed around.
Maybe I did. No, I thought this was incredible. For whatever reason, when the match started, I was like, I wonder if we're hitting diminishing returns on these two, but I don't think so. I loved the pacing of the match. I thought they kept things moving. Like, it never felt slow, but they also gave stuff time to breathe, which was nice, and I think that's something the previous match didn't do. I thought it made, like, Azumi's kick out at 1 even more impactful to me. I think these two are just like, they're so perfect for each other, and they really do an incredible job of just making each other look great and have it feel like the match could go either way. Cause like, it makes sense for Starlight Kid to win here, but I thought it could have gone either way throughout this whole match. So I was biting on a lot of near falls, and just, I thought the match was tremendous. Like I said, 4.75, great stuff.
I think it's certainly interesting that Azumi lost, because it seems fairly definitive now that Starlight Kid is placed above Azumi.
Yeah, well, this was the match to decide the leader of Neo Genesis.
Yeah, but I just mean sort of not like in that kayfabe sense, but in the sense of like how the promotion sees them. Because I guess in my mind, I've always been like, oh, they're linked because they're similar in age. They sort of came up together. And if Azumi would have won, you could have thought, okay, they gave Starlight Kid, you know, they had the high speed title back and forth. What was that, last year?
Yes, last year, 2 years ago.
That sort of felt a little, you know, even Steven. In some way, but now it is very clearly, you know, obviously she's the leader of the unit, but also it feels like, okay, they are behind Starlight Kid. I'm very interested to see what happens with Azumi moving forward, because it felt very definitively like, okay, Starlight Kid is not ready, turn Starlight Kid heel, and then once we're ready, switch it back, which they did, and now move up the card.
Mm-hmm.
Azumi doesn't feel like she has that path. So I'm interested to see what happens with her.
Well, and also she's got a strong title match coming up. And so they weren't going to have her lose that match, you know, if she was champion.
Yeah.
So I think the timing wasn't great on it, but I really do feel like they finally realized, like, hey, we do really have something here with Starlight Kid.
Yeah, I mean, very good. I've been on the Starlight Kid train for many years.
Yeah. I think this was a case of Hatman gone, we can finally do what we actually want to do with Starlight Kid.
And then the main event was for the World of Stardom title and a career versus career match. Saya Kamatani defeating Tam Nakano to retain the title and retain her ability to keep wrestling, I guess you would say. In 26 minutes and 9 seconds again because of technological issues. I haven't seen it, so I will throw it to Kelly for his review.
I thought this was just a fantastic cap to what is most likely going to end up being the show of the year. I thought it was paced perfectly. I was so happy there was no hate bullshit like that. I was really afraid that they were going to come out like Daichi was going to get knocked down and then hate would run out and there'd be a whole thing, but they never did that. And thank God. We didn't see Natsuko Tora this whole show. How great is that? Isn't it like she wasn't in that battle royal? She wasn't anywhere. What a great day. This match really drove home to me that Saya has grown so much as a performer since her white belt title reign that Taylor and I hated. Like, this really felt like a graduation, almost. Like, this was the final test she had to kind of move up to show, like, she is just this... She is the top of the company. She belongs in this spot.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
And Tom really gave her a lot here. I potentially gave her a new finisher with the Twilight Dream, which Saya used to put her away. I'm very interested to see if she'll keep using that move. I think that would be a nice touch. Just the post-match was really good. Like, the whole thing was very emotional, and I thought they handled it well. English commentary, Walker Stewart did a tremendous job here, just laying out and letting them kind of talk, and Waka provided a translation, which was nice. But Walker Stewart just sat out and let the moment speak for itself, which was 100% the correct move. And then you had the final bit in the match with just them looking at up the ramp with the feathers falling down and then the cut to black. And it felt like a series finale. Like, it really, they did a great job with this being the end of Tom. And I don't think we'll ever see her again. It really seems like this is it. I don't think she'll return in any kind of role, or at least not for a good long time. And then I also had the thought of, is this what WWE fans feel like when they watch their show and claim that it's cinema? And like, is this what they think they're watching? Because I think this is what they think they're watching. Like, they think they're actually seeing special moments like this when it's it's not. They're getting fucking whatever their weird little circus is doing. But yeah, this match I thought was great. I fully expect it to be in my top five, potentially my top three. I went 4 3/4 on it. I really flirted with five, but it didn't immediately hit me, so I decided not. Yeah, tremendous stuff. Just an awesome cap to this great show.
Well, that is all for All-Star Grand Queendom, but not all for Stardom. They also had a Cork and Hall show a few days before All-Star Grand Queendom on April 24th. The big news out of that one, a new unit for Suzu Suzuki. It is Suzu, Rina Yamashita, Itsuki Aoki, and Akira Kuragane. That unit is called Mi Vida Loca.
Big Ricky Martin fans.
A name I just hate.
They got to come to the ring to that song.
I just hate that name. Unit, we'll have to see. I have to say, this happened in real time on episodes of this podcast, but Itsuki Aoki, what was that, 2 or 3 years ago, became the du jour indie Joshi title challenger for like a full year. And I grew very tired of her, so I'm not all that excited to see her here. But we'll see. We'll have to see how Aoki and Yamashita work here, because I believe they're still freelancers.
Yeah.
So an interesting unit. We'll have to see. Maybe now that they've allowed blood, they'll let these people run around and make everyone bleed.
That would be cool. If they would, they could be what hate pretends to be.
So that would be fun, but we will have to see there. It also feels like a very small unit, so maybe we'll see some additions. But that, the other big Stardom news of the last 2 weeks, Marigold had a show at Corican Hall on April 25th. That had a twin star title match, Nanae Takahashi and Sarah Yamaoka, retaining the tag titles against Darkness Revolution, Chiaki and Misa Matsui. Mai Sakurai and Mirai defeated Utami and Victoria Yuzuki in a tag match. That was part of the story of Utami demanding that Mirai get some wins before she gets the title challenge. And then the main event of the show was a gauntlet 10-person tag team match between Team Marvelous and Team Marigold. I thought this was an excellent match. I thought it was very fun. I thought a number of people came away from the match looking very good. I thought Kazuna Tanaka, who started for Team Marigold, looked very good. Maria looking very good on the Marvelous side. But just a fun match. I thought it was well laid out. It didn't have the usual. I think in a lot of these gauntlet matches, they sort of go to the same cliches of like, oh, the last person gets down and they have to defeat, you know, two or three people. They didn't do that. I thought Sonny and Stewart on the English commentary were very good. I think it would have been very easy for them to lean into sort of the like, rah, rah, we're Team Marigold and we're rooting for them. But they really didn't. They did a really good job of putting over really all the Marvelous wrestlers in addition to the Marigold wrestlers. Now, Kelly, I mentioned earlier the thing about counting pins and what's the problem going on there.
Yeah.
I will say this match had two issues, and considering it went, you know, I don't even remember how long it went, 40 minutes or something. Not terrible. There was one, the second elimination, shoulder was clearly up and the pin got counted, which I was like, ugh, that's bad. And then there was later in the match, Maria and Natsumi Shozuki were wrestling. They were doing the sort of classic spot of Shozuki had Maria in the triangle choke, and then Maria did the lift into the powerbomb out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it took them a long time to get Shozuki up.
Oh, it so should they have were been
like
a pin.
In the prep position, and I'm like, she's being pinned. She's being pinned. Hello, hello, hello. Yeah. There was no pin being counted. I was like, come on now, please. But I went 4.25 stars. I thought it was really good. Rossi should be worshiping at the feet of Chigusa Nagayo for allowing Marvelous to come over to this promotion and put some good workers on these shows. Because they need it very badly to get some people in. After the match, there was a lot of argument. I think this Marvelous Marigold thing will continue for at least a little while. Magenta, which is Maria and Riko Kawahata, challenged Nanai Takahashi and Yamaoka for the tag title. So that should be happening soon, which should be a good match. But I would say definitely check out that gauntlet match on the Marigold Show. The one warning is that it is very long between the intros and the entrances. I think it lasts like 1 hour and 5 minutes or something. So just put aside some time. No, it isn't a quick 20-minute match, but worth watching there. Kelly, you'll be happy to hear that in Seedling on April 15th, the Mask versus Mask high-speed match ended with a definitive winner.
That's good.
Kakadita defeating Nasudita, who then unmasked.
Who was it?
I bet you can guess. So you have one less masked Seedling wrestler to worry about.
Good.
Congrats. While most of the Tokyo Joshi roster was over in America, they did a show in Japan where in the main event, Himawari defeated Uta Takami to become the number one contender to the International Princess title. That match will be coming up very soon. In Ice Ribbon, there was a tag title change. Arisa Shinose and Misa Kagura defeating Karari Wakana and Miku Kanai to win the tag titles there. In Diana, they had a show on the 27th at Korakuen Hall. Hanaka defeated Soy to win the Crystal title, the vacant Crystal title. The tag team titles, Nanami Hatano and Rina Amakura, retained their titles against Ayako Sato and Debbie Keitel. And Risa Serra retained the Diana World title over Haruka Umasaki and then announced that she will be retiring in January of 2026. So, Kelly, another retirement.
Do you think John Cena kicked this all off?
I don't know what kicked it. I think it's the spring. I think the weather gets better and people are like, I don't want to be wrestling anymore.
I don't want to wrestle in a world without John Cena.
Yeah, that's probably what it is for these Joshi wrestlers. Also, Unagi Saika did her Purdue show at Sumo Hall. That drew, I believe, around 1,800 fans. Not great attendance.
Hey, it outdrew Bloodsport.
I didn't see that show, but I looked at the full card, and I cannot say I am very interested in watching.
Did it air anywhere?
I don't know if it did.
I haven't seen like it pop up anywhere.
I think I just saw mostly results, and they mostly seemed it seemed very much like a comedy, comedy show.
Yeah, it seemed like a meme show.
But what else happened in the last 2 weeks? Well, WrestleMania weekend, we previewed it on the last episode. So now let's run through all the action that happened WrestleMania weekend. We started on Wednesday with the Dragon Gate USA Rebirth show. That featured Neo Genesis, Azumi, and Starlight Kid defeating the hate duo of Konami and Natsuka Tora. I thought a poor start to the weekend.
Yes.
Thought the match was really not any good. And the first of many matches, people reaching out going, what's up with hate?
They would have been better off just not having a match at all. Because I think a match like this is embarrassing and drives people away from the product.
Pandemonium Pro Wrestling had the show, the first show on Thursday that featured Joshi Axon, Miyu Watanabe defeating Maya World. I thought by the end of the weekend, I liked Maya World. I thought she didn't look great here.
Yeah.
I was sort of not impressed in this action. She impressed me later. Of course, Pandemonium Pro had some streaming issues happening with the live stream, which may have contributed. But I thought that this match was pretty average.
Mm-hmm. It was also, I find it interesting how they shoot their shows in like super widescreen.
Yes, very cinematic.
Yeah.
Stardom had their first of two shows, American Dream 2025 in Sin City. Won't go through the whole show, but we'll just say we had not had the cards when this show came out, when our last episode came out, I should say. And it's sort of glad we didn't, because these cards were very average, and here they produced a very average show.
Yeah, I don't think Stardom won themselves any fans this WrestleMania weekend, because these shows were not great.
I think it's always going to be hard if you put yourself behind a separate paywall to win anyone over, which this was, because it was on Triller for separate cost. Maybe could have helped being part of some streaming, you know, Triller Plus or whatever. But I thought that this show overall, I mean, it started with terrible technical problems. They took an intermission partway through, which was so stupid. You know, the show started with Ram Kai Chow coming out to the Cosmic Angels music or something. And then they went, oh, stop, we're going to redo it again. And it's sort of like, okay, we'll do that. But, Kelly, the good news is the Stardom show was better.
Yeah.
Then Mickie James defeating Maki Ito in nearly 15 minutes on the WrestleCon Super Show. Possibly of every match at WrestleMania weekend, the worst match of the entire weekend.
One of the single most embarrassing matches I've ever seen. Mickie James should legitimately be ashamed of herself for this performance. Like what she got, it's wild to just get so gassed that then you're like, all right, hang on, I need to go cut a promo, and for whatever reason bury the most prominent journalist in the scene while I'm cutting the promo, and then I gotta tell my opponent to sing a song. Whew. And then have just such a shit match. And poor Maki Ito does not deserve, she is not at fault for this being shitty. Mickie James fucking sucked so bad in this match. Like, I don't, it can't, this was right before the, or was it before or after the Butterbean Minoru Suzuki?
It was directly before, because everyone was saying, well, we found the worst match of WrestleMania weekend, and then Minoru Suzuki and Butterbean happened, and people were like, wait a minute.
I don't think that was worse, because at least that was a freak show. This should have been, this was a dream match.
I mean, it's easily, between the two matches, the worst 30 minutes of pro wrestling you'll ever see in your life.
Yes. Yes, 100%.
Just horrible. I mean, you let her off, but I want to say that Maki Ito also is to blame for this. You know.
I don't think as much. I think not, she did what she could.
Not as much, but her Americanizing her act is part of what enables something like this to happen.
Yes, very much so.
And the, you know, leaning into the singing and the whatever and the blah, blah, blah. It was bad. It was very, very, very bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, also on that day, West Coast Pro Wrestling had Vegas Vacation. On that show, Johnny Robbie retained the West Coast women's title against the Great Sakuya. I don't know. I guess I'm like the number one fan of Great Sakuya, because every time I see her, I'm like, oh, she's fun. And then I read the comments and everyone's like, she stinks. And I'm like, I think she's, you know, it's not the greatest act I've ever seen, but I enjoy watching it. at the end, I was sort of like, oh, that was nice enough. You know, that was like 3.5, 3.25 stars. Like, it was fine. I'm not blown away, but I enjoyed it. Then also on that day was Spark Joshi Presents Lady Luck. Kelly, I have to say the thing. It's crazy to me that Spark does, what, 2 or 3 shows a year?
Mm-hmm.
And like 50% of the show revolves around this heel unit that no one who like goes to the show knows anything about. They did it last year. Oh, these dastardly such and such people are interfering. How could they do this? I'm like, who are these people? I've never even seen them in my life. Like, and it, if it were one match, I would be like, okay, you get your sort of, you know, interference stuff. It's like the whole top of the card.
Yeah.
Is like people are running in. Oh, someone's back. Oh, they're interfering. Oh, they're doing this. I'm like, oh my God, why? Like, no one is
No one knows the Spark Joshi lore.
Yeah. But again, you're behind your own paywall because they were on Triller for $20. I don't ever watch these shows now and think, I've got to watch more Spark Joshi.
No.
Because the whole thing is, and the thing I think that has been lost in all of WrestleMania weekend, although there was one show that did it correctly, go out and have good matches.
Yes.
That's what gets people to be like, whoa, I want to watch more of that. Not, oh, I just watched 3 matches in a row where a heel unit interfered. Oh, cool. Great. Show me more of that. I can watch that on American TV for free.
I think a big part of that is I'm assuming that you were talking about Tokyo Joshi
putting on a good show. Tokyo Joshi did put, I guess I could say 2 shows, because I was thinking of
Marvelous.
I think the best show of the weekend was the Dragon Gate Pro Wrestling Revolution show.
Okay, yeah.
Which had 2 absolutely incredible, insane matches that I'm like, yes, this is great.
Yes. But so here's the difference between those. The wrestlers don't give a fuck about Spark Joshi, and they shouldn't. This is a money mark promotion, whereas Tokyo Joshi or Dragon Gate, that's their home. They are fighting to put on a good show to get people in the door for more shows. The Spark Joshi people, they're already in town. I don't think they care about making sure people show up to another show. They're just like, let me get paid. And rightfully so. I will not blame them for that.
Well, no, but I'm saying they're not even being put in a position.
No, they're not.
Like, they may not care. Okay, that's on the wrestlers, like, whatever. They have no chance.
No.
If you're going to have I will go out there, I'll have a great match. Oh, but actually near the end, 5 people are going to run in and they're going to be the story. Like, you're being set up to fail no matter what you do in the ring. The match could have been great, you know, oh, this is 4.5 stars. And then, oh, here's 5 people interfering all the time. You know, then it's the same as if you go out there and you half-ass it anyway. And then, you know, oh, here they come. Here comes the whatever they're called, the heels, these 3 random people who never interact other, you know, here's the dastardly #1 heel of the United States, Sumi Sakai. Out to do her usual evil. I'm like, Sumi Sakai is the least convincing heel I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
She looks like the nicest person on earth. So anyway, I agree with you, but I think booking it, you have to set them up. You have to act in a way that you think they're going to come out and give effort.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just feeding into them if you're going, oh, you're going to wrestle and it won't matter because someone will come out and interfere and the end will have the ref being pulled. And then who gives a shit?
Well, the thing is, the booker clearly thinks this is good because they've been doing this for, 2-3 years now?
At least. Well, they've been on Is this their third WrestleMania weekend?
I think it might be their third. They've been doing the same shit for 3 years, so they have to think it's good.
So anyway, I mean, I think part of it is they think it's good because they get to put on a show and the wrestlers come and are like, thank you yes. for giving us money.
This very much feels to me like in my local area, we've got Great Lakes Championship Wrestling. You go, you work that show that he gets a lot of like former WWE guys. It's a good payday, but part of that payday is, you know, you have to spend the day hanging out with the promoter and pretending to be his friend. That's part of that booking. I think that's kind of the case here too.
Well, speaking of shows that stunk, Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 13 happened on Thursday evening. I thought a terrible show. I hate Josh Barnett's vision of Bloodsport. It's so boring to me. Three matches happened. Micah defeating Carmen Petrovic in 4 minutes, 27 seconds. I guess I was interested to see what the hell was up with Carmen Petrovic, a person I've never heard of.
I'm glad that Micah won and beat her for her crimes of cultural appropriation.
Yes. And I believe whoever was announcing did say when Carmen came out, something like, you wouldn't know it, but this person is not Japanese. As she comes out with very bright blonde hair.
Yep.
Shayna Baszler defeated Konami, a match I've already forgotten anything about.
I completely forgot that match even happened.
Actually, the match I thought was best on the whole card, and of course of the Joshi, was Natty Neidhart defeating Miyu Yamashita. I would have thought it was better had Miyu won with her great-looking spin kick.
Yes.
She hits an amazing-looking spin kick and then immediately gets put into a figure four and taps.
Yeah. Can we talk about the post-match of this where Natty wins? She then gets her heat back that she never lost by beating up Miyu again. Then she goes outside and gets her heat back again that she never lost by beating up some fucking NXT rando at ringside.
Kelly, it was an NWA superstar, Kenzie Page.
Okay. So wait, is NXT working with the NWA now?
I have no idea.
Is Chef Michaels in the kitchen cooking?
I don't really care, frankly.
Is he making cinema?
I mean, I thought it was the best match because I feel like something happened at least. It wasn't just two people wandering out from backstage doing shitty, fake shoot matches and then wandering, you know, oh, and then I bow, you know, everyone's got to bow to each other like assholes. Yeah. And at least something happened and I'm like, oh, she's fighting with someone in the crowd who I knew immediately was a wrestler. But, you know, I'm like, at least something's going on.
Yeah. But it's just like, why did Natty have to get her heat back twice that she never lost? You know?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know, but stop doing Bloodsport. Is my final message. Then late at night at 11 p.m. was Marvelous Pro Wrestling. I thought that this was the second best Joshi show of the weekend. Highlighted by maybe my favorite Joshi match of the weekend, Aja Kong defeating Senka Akatsuki in only 5 minutes and 5 seconds, but it was a classic Aja Kong rookie destroy match. The crowd was super into it. It was super fun. Didn't overstay its welcome.
They've got something with Senka.
She's like pushing out of the pin, constantly like moving. I'm like, this is great. I thought it rocked. I thought the whole show was good. I thought it was fun. You know, like the Masha Ai Hozan match. But that was really the highlight. The crowd really helped. The crowd was loud. You could hear the crowd, importantly.
The crowd was going nuts for Senka kicking out or trying to not get pinned.
The main was good. So this really a great, solid show. A bummer it was on High Spots where only two shows were, and High Spots is like $16 a month.
How weird is it that like the WrestleCon show was on Triller.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. They were like, we're on High Spots. And then all of a sudden they were like, we're on Triller TV Plus. And I was like, great, but actually less great because now I have to get High Spots for even less shows. I think there was only one other show on High Spots all weekend.
It was so weird.
Then we go into Friday. Tokyo Joshi had their show at 11 a.m. I thought that this was the Joshi show of the weekend by far. I thought it was an excellent show. Thought that Suzume, Jada Stone, you know, from last time we talked about Jada Stone on this podcast that I'm a Jada Stone head. I thought she was really good. I went 4 stars on this match. Thought it was super fun. Masha Slamovich and Miyu, I think a little disappointing. Probably the Knockouts world title being on the line didn't help.
Yeah, that tipped off who was winning.
I thought the Princess Tag Team title match was solid. I think I went 3 3/4 on that. And then the main event, really good. I went 4 stars on that. I saw some people dropping in for the show who don't follow Tokyo Joshi, who were actually even higher than I were and were very impressed by Miyu and Mizuki. So good to see. But really, this is the type of show. I remember last year, I felt like the Tokyo Joshi DDT involvement in the weekend was very average. And this is the show. This is the type of shows that they should be presenting
exactly
on these weekend.
This was a Kirk and Hall show.
Yeah.
And it rocked. The main event was awesome. I went 4 1/4 on it. And I think this is the kind of show that can win you new fans.
Yeah. You're absolutely correct.
This is what Stardom should have been doing.
And I know that they're doing Y'all in Weekend. I think they're running like pretty far away from everything else. So if they want to draw, I'm like, you've got to do another card like this.
Yes. You have to book like you want to draw fans and not just like, well, people will be there. They'll come.
Yeah. But an excellent show. Definitely worth checking out. I think, you know, maybe the Marvelous show you could watch, I would say you can sort of drop in and out of that one. But this is probably the only show I would recommend, really, the whole thing. I thought it was really good and a lot of fun and very indicative of Tokyo Joshi as a whole, which is sort of what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Then Stardom had Stardom American Dream in the Neon City, their second of 2 shows. I thought this show was slightly better than the first day of shows. Still wasn't really blown away. I thought the top 2 were fairly good, but nothing crazy. I mean, probably the biggest thing was Tekla attacking Okada in their post-match, but now that's old news that she's been fired. But the top 2, this was one of those matches, Maya World. The semi-main was Izumi and Johnny Robbie defeating Maya World and Starlight Kid. And I thought Maya World looked really good in this match.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good. Yeah, Kelly, any thoughts?
Is the DKC the biggest dork in wrestling?
I don't know. I feel like I see him once every 6 months. And the minute he is not directly in front of me, I forget everything about him.
Every time I see him, I'm like, who's this fucking nerd? And it's the DKC. I'm like, oh, that guy with the weird ass name. All right.
Donkey Kong Country.
The Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah. DK. Donkey Kong. What else happened? I realized that El Fantasmo and Maki Ito happened, but it didn't make air. And so I have no idea what happened in that match.
I bet it was better than the Mickey James match.
In addition to Deadlock Pro, did not make air. What did make air was Joey Janela's Spring Break 9, Masha Slamovich defeating Suzu Suzuki in 9 minutes and 52 seconds. And I have to be honest, I've forgotten everything about this match.
I remember liking it well enough.
That Dragon Gate Pro Wrestling Revolution show was at the end of Friday. That had Hanan and Saeeda defeating Hayan and Charisma in 10 minutes and 44 seconds. Solid match, but it was an undercard match and some other things on the show sort of blew it away.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. New Texas Pro Wrestling, Texas Hold'em. This is one that did air that I didn't get around to. Hanako and Kylie Rae wrestling. Hanako, after last episode, got reached out. Hanako, of course, did that excursion a little while back and was Texas-based, so that was part, you know, we said it was sort of a random match. And Kylie Rae, a former New Texas Pro Wrestling champion, so that was the reason for that. Saturday, WWE NXT Stand and Deliver. Kelly's making me talk about this. I'm being forced. It was a terrible show, and Stephanie Vaquer retained the title against Julia and Jada Parker and Jordynne Grace.
The greatest trick I've ever pulled is making you watch NXT and then not watching it myself.
How dare you? It was bad. Stunk. Unless you really like Booker T shouting.
Yeah, what was Booker T like whacking off at the desk during this match?
Oh, well, Stephanie Vaquer has that thing where she takes someone's legs and then she like thrusts their head into the mat. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, 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 yes.
And Booker T, when she does it, goes, he's like, oh. Like, it's very weird.
Okay.
It's horrible.
And you know, that's one of those where we need to get the Gooners out of wrestling. Because they're the ones facilitating this stuff. And imagine for a second if that happened in AEW. We would be talking about that for months. People would be talking about how, let's see, who are we going to put in that role? Tony Schiavone should be thrown off the air and thrown in the street for daring to make a sex noise when a woman does a thing. But it's okay if it happens in the Fed, because that's where the Gooners are. I rest my case.
I fully laid out for that. I'm not getting involved. Also on Saturday, Tokyo Joshi Pro versus DDT versus GCW happened. Nothing blow away on the show, but it was a fun show.
Yeah.
Thought it was a good mixture of people and promotions. Nothing to go out of your way, I think, to see, but watching it, especially after having watched 8 million shows, was pretty fun.
I thought the main was really good.
Yeah. Which was Kanosuke Takeshita and Masha Slamovich defeating Miyu Yamashita and Shinya Aoki. Yeah, it was fun. I thought that Maki Ito had an actual good comedy match with one called Manders against Yuki Onaya and Microman.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, fun show. I think now it's like WrestleMania weekend is over, so I couldn't really in good conscience be like, go back and watch it. But in the moment, I was like, okay, this is nice.
Yeah.
And then finally, Game Changer Wrestling had Clusterfuck Forever. I will be honest, the show started at 2 a.m. and at 4 a.m. I fell asleep. So I did manage to see the Up Up Girls enter first.
That's all you really need. And if you're just watching from a Joshi perspective, you just need the Up Up Girls segment.
I was having a great time. Carrie Morton came out and then they went away. And I did get to also see the real deal Zeta Steel.
Yes, she was in there too.
Former Marigold great.
But I loved the bit with them tossing Carrie Morton out and him getting so mad about it that he starts running sprints up and down the outside of the ring. Like, that was just so perfect. Just like such an angry uncle moment. I loved it.
But that is everything. Yes, everything that happened WrestleMania weekend. But what is coming up? The action never stops, and we're going into Golden Week. So what do we have? Stardom has a number of Golden Week house shows on May 9th. They also have New Blood 21. And on May 11th, they have a Corican Hall show. I have a feeling, I think they have a press conference tomorrow?
Yes.
Question mark, where I'm assuming a lot of this will be announced in addition to possibly some other things. So that is that. Seedling has a Corican Hall show on May 1st. Rina Yamashita and Natsu Samire, returning from a mysterious place where she's been for a while, will face Hiroyo Matsumoto and Mio Shirai. Kelly's favorite, La Pedida and Ka Kedida, will face off against the CMLL duo of Juvia and Tabata.
Juvedita.
And Tabatita. Veni Makoto and Nagisa Nozaki will face Unagi Saika, Honori Hana, and Miku Kanai. Miria Koga will face off against Mika Iwata. And then the main event is Ayame Sasamura and Itsuki Aoki defending the Seedling tag titles against Misa Kagura and Yuri. Oz has some Golden Week shows. Tokyo Joshi has a show on May 3rd that will feature Yuki Kamifuku versus Viva Van for the VPW title. And the main event, as we talked about earlier, Himawari becoming the number one contender for the International Princess title. She will face off against the champion Suzume. Marigold has a Corican Hall show on May 4th to cap off their Golden Week shows. The probably biggest show of the next 2 weeks, Mako Satomura, the final, happening on April 29th. It will be Mako Satomura's retirement show. She will be in the main event, teaming with Naname to face off against Chihiro Hashimoto and Aja Kong. I personally was sort of hoping for a bigger match than that, but c'est la vie.
Yeah, it really kind of feels like, well, I'm not going out on my back.
Well, maybe they'll do a, you know, gauntlet sort of thing at the end, or
that would be fun.
Something like that, but we will see. Also announced starting on May 4th is Catch the Wave 2025 will begin May 4th. It is 9 groups of 4 wrestlers.
Oh my God.
And the wrestlers are as follows. Here we go. Okay. Yumi Oka, Yuki Miyazaki, Sakura Hirota, Kohaku, Honika, Asuka Goda, Haruka Umasaki, Mizuki Kato, Yuma Makoda, Nanami, Hazuki, Rani Yagami, Akira Kuragane, Yuri, Yura Suzuki, Ayame Sasamura, Saki, Rina Amakura, Yuko Sakurai, Risa Sera, Momoko Hanazono, Kaori Yoniyama, Itsuki Aoki, Kakaru Sekiguchi, Miyuki Takase, Yuki Mishiro, Mio Shirai, Sayaka Unagi, Marika Kobashi, Natsu Samire, Kaho Kobayashi, Tai Hanmo, Micah Ozaki, Cherry, Mari Manji, and Saran. Damn, almost made it all the way through.
That's so many people.
That's a lot of people. How many of them make tape or make tape in an easily accessible way that don't cost $35 per show? TBD.
I love Wave's dedication to just being running the most nonsense tournament every year.
I mean, it's so many people. Mio Shirai, her first time in Catch the Wave in 11 years, which is very strange to think about.
And the funny thing is, so it's, what is it, 9 groups of 4?
Yep.
So it can't even break down into just like a simple 8-person bracket tournament from there. You're still going to have probably one play-in from there.
Nope. You gotta make it as crazy as possible. So.
And how many, like, because is the 4, is that round robin?
I believe it is. Hold on. Let me see.
Because how many ties are they going to end up having then?
I'm trying to find more. Oh, there's a conference called Catch the Wave. It's a dynamic 3-day professional development conference hosted by the Women's Business Enterprise Council, Ohio River Valley.
Oh,
now talk about a mouthful.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I would assume it's round robin.
So, yeah. So they're going to have end up having like tiebreakers and stuff, too. So that adds even more matches.
Let's see. Nope, doesn't say. Well, we'll find out. And also, slash, who knows how many.
Yeah.
Who knows how many of these matches we'll be able to watch next April.
It's entirely possible that this is a tournament that has like one show air.
So that is everything coming up in the next 2 weeks of Joshi. And that's it. So Kelly, it's time for Kelly's Corner.
I am happy to report that the rehearsal is back on HBO or Max. And it looks like Nathan's going to fix the airline industry. And I'm very excited to see how he does it.
I had a friend who watched episode one on a plane, which they said they did not enjoy.
Yeah, I've said by the end of this season, I'm either going to feel safer riding in an airplane or more less safe than I ever have felt on a plane than ever before.
Yeah. I think that's very accurate. Well, that is all for us for this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio, but we will be back with you in 2 weeks' time for even more Joshi action. For Kelly, my name is Taylor, saying goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener, Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.